is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
On today's podcast, well, broken bones are one thing, but we're going to be talking about shattered bones.
Some of these stories are going to blow you away. Also, Brendan Julian, there is a part where we talk to him about the third test, the cricket that is.
But brief.
Yeah, very brief. Yeah.
We're going to speak to Matt Parker. He combines comedy with math. Anyway, that's the boring part. The best part is what we find out about his partner and him, and they have an actual couple thing that they do that I'm sure no other couple in the world does.
Plus, we'll chat to people about how they manage to chew through their data, inspired by our very own Sean McManus.
Thank you.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
I used to buy Zuby jeans, and then
back when they started with a T, and then they changed to being starting with a K.
But they were like $230, and
yeah,
they were like sort of like worn out with these holes in there and stuff.
So you knew that they weren't going to last.
They
long.
Lasted a month, basically. These jeans were ridiculous. But the creator of Zuby jeans, his name is Dan. He was over in Paris doing some fashion stuff over there with his girlfriend, and he's saying three stories up in this hotel with one of those little French balconies.
Sort
of bit of iron. A bit of iron sort of between that and the thing.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah.
Somehow he's fallen out of it, of the third story window, and he's landed on his heels, and he has crushed every bone from his spine down to his heels. He has shattered all of it.
So he's broken his pelvis, his femurs, his tibia, fibula, and then lots of bones in his feet.
Do you reckon when he was falling, he's thinking, I'm going to make this?
Like, well, you know what?
Because he's going to land on
his feet. Oh, my God, yes.
This is going to be amazing. All I have to do is give it the knees and
give
I'm
it the
home.
Knees and then just sort of trot off. And then everyone will start clapping.
Yes. It'll be amazing.
Oh,
I mean, had he landed on his head, it would have killed him. So this was a better option, obviously, for his long-term survival. But imagine that he's going to have his legs in that. Like, the number of pins and things they're going to have to pin him back together with.
Oh, yeah, he's now sponsored by Bunnings.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're not there, but do you reckon when he landed and the bones basically crunched and just gone through the skin and stuff?
He just went, and like a piano accordion being closed?
Yeah, what do you think is the first thing that goes through your mind is?
It's your knees.
The head of your femur.
Your knees are the first thing that goes through your mind, Sean.
Okay. My brother fell off a windmill many years ago. So they were putting a windmill up and funnily enough, the wind caught it and it started to tip over and he looked at his options as it's like starting to drop and he thought, if I stay on it, it's going to land on top of me.
Yes.
And he could, and it was also, he would have landed in an empty concrete tank. Ooh. So he thought, I'll take my chances, and he jumped and landed on, like, imagine clay soil that's hard baked in the sun.
Yes.
He landed on that. So it's like, it is rock hard.
Did he land on his feet?
He landed on his feet.
And then just ran off?
No.
What happened?
No. So his imagine your heel bone. You know how your heel bone's like like a rounded kind of lump? That exploded, essentially.
Oh!
So, and he was wearing Blundstone boots. And the thing that he was most upset about was they had to cut the boots off him and it ruined his favourite pair of Blundies.
Well, it takes ages to wear some of those in.
And yeah, exactly right. And they're like your best friend. Yeah. He was flown in the RFTS up to Kalgoorlie for surgery and he had to stay up there for ages. And then his surgeon was Dr. Donald Duck.
So funny. At the same time, Dr. Donald Duck in Kalgoorlie, there was Dr. Butcher. So it was either see Dr. Donald Duck or Dr. Butcher. I don't know.
Donald Duck did a great job on him, but he now has a permanent limp because
of
that.
Can I ask you, when your bone shatters in so many pieces, can they just get them back together? Or how do they?
It has to be kind of wired and pinned back together.
It's like a 3D jigsaw puzzle, Sean.
And then, had to be. He then got the pins and things out much later.
My God.
But yeah, he's now has a permanent limp. That was really only just from one bone. This guy,
all of them.
This guy's gone.
It'd just be mush down there. It'd just be mush. And after you've done it, and you look down and you look at your legs all mushed up, you go, oh no! Like, don't you think like, this is gonna hurt.
When's the pain coming?
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
An Australian fashion designer has had an accident in Paris where he's fallen three stories from a balcony, landed on his feet like a cat, which you think, that's really clever.
That's great.
Not so much because he's broken every bone from his pelvis down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I wonder if the pain hits you straight away or you wait.
Oh, I think it's like a kid, you know, when they have to catch their breath first and then it hurts.
But imagine that pain. Like, imagine when you kick your toe, that hurts.
Yeah. Imagine. So, it's like, oh, my left knee hurt. Oh, wait, no, my hip hurt. Oh, no, the other. Oh, yeah, no, everything hurts.
We are talking about shattered bones. Chloe's in Bullsbrook. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
What did you shatter, Chloe? What happened?
Well, I dance at this place called Jodie Marshall Dance Company. And then...
heard of it.
And then, so basically I was doing this turn down the hallway and my foot slipped out from underneath me. And I thought, oh, I could either brace my arms or go all floppy, because they say you won't break a bone if you go all floppy. So I went all floppy and I ended up shattering my elbow bone in three places.
But you went all floppy, which is...
Yeah, I know.
She was guaranteed safety. She was being a floppy Chloe.
So this, you weren't even actually doing a dance class or anything. You were just walking, pirouetting down the hallway for the sheer joy of dance.
So when you shatter something, what is it like?
It's horrible. I had to drive, because my mum didn't believe me. She thought I didn't break my bone. So I had to drive myself all the way from the dance studio to the hospital.
Yeah.
And she met me at the hospital. And when I got out of the hospital, she saw my elbow and she was like, oh my God.
Did you have to have one of those casts where your arm was sticking out?
No, I didn't have to have one of those, luckily.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just, they didn't actually operate on me for 5 days. They made me stay in hospital for 5 days.
Wow, for the swelling to go down so that they could actually see what they were doing.
Yeah, and also because they had so many other surgeries and that sort of thing, and it was,
I just bung you in a bed later.
How much hardware did they put into your elbow?
They ended up only having to put in three pins.
Only three?
Yeah.
Was it the hand that you use?
Yes, it was.
Oh, Chloe.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Going floppy doesn't help.
Going floppy didn't help. All right. Lou's in touch. Hello.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hey, Lou.
We're talking shattered bones. What have you got for us?
Look, not me, but my father, unfortunately. They live over east, and my mum and my sister decided to go away down Melbourne just before Christmas for a girls' weekend. He looked after my sister's house. One day he went out on the veranda, security door quick behind him and locked.
Yeah.
So he thought, well, it's only one story, you know, down to the grass. I'll just sort of straddle over the handrail and then just ease myself down onto the grass.
Yeah.
Only problem was the corner that the veranda post goes into the concrete footing had grass over it. He didn't see that, and his left leg landed on that just slightly before his right. And
so all of his weight went on the concrete bit.
Exactly. So both of his bones, just above the ankle, decided they wanted to pop out and see the world from the back of his leg.
Oh! Look, who was there to help him?
Who found him?
He hit the skids his by himself.
In hindsight, Sean, we did say, look, why didn't you yell out to the neighbour to come over and with a ladder or whatever? Yeah. And he said, well, it was a little bit late. I don't want to sort of interrupt them or trouble them.
Of course.
I said, I bet you you're yelling when you broke your leg that way.
So you did end up interrupting them and troubling them.
Yes. That's it.
And just this time they got something horrific to see. Instead of just bringing the ladder over.
He had to go to the Gold Coast, the big university hospital, so they'd see some doozies there.
Yeah.
And this was November, so near the end of the year, I think it was the second week of schoolies or leavers. And straight away, as they wheeled him in, they gave him the award for the best fracture of the year in the hospital.
Oh. And that's during schoolie weeks. That is
during schoolies and late in the year. Long story short, he had half of Bunnings put into his leg.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it didn't take. And he ended up, he can do a very awesome pirate impersonation now. He lost his leg below the knee.
Oh, he lost his leg.
Yeah. So the good thing about it is, you know, when we go to sporting events and concerts, the handicap seats are never sold out and they're definitely never up in the nosebleed.
Yes.
So you get really good seats from it. I suppose there's some benefit.
Well, that's the silver lining.
Why didn't you tell us about this earlier? I would have taken him to Adele. Got first row.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean. We're talking broken bones, inspired by the Aussie fashion design,
Shattered.
Who shattered both of his lower limbs, all of the bones, when he fell off a balcony.
Oh,
there's the actual audio. Mike's in Willoughby, hello.
Hello, how are we doing?
Oh, yeah, we've been grossed out, we love it.
What did you shatter,
Mike?
Horrible,
isn't it?
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I was helping out the ex-father-in-law unloading a truck, and I fell sideways off it, landed on the point of my elbow, and broke my humerus in seven places.
Seven. Not very funny, is it, really?
Wasn't funny at all.
Okay, so
that's a humorous joke, I take it.
Terrible,
yeah. Oh, Sean.
Can I apologise to everybody out there?
This is what you deserve. Ready?
Yeah.
What happened afterwards?
Well, I went to hospital and got to the emergency department, and at first the nurses didn't believe it was broken, which also wasn't humorous at all. It was Easter long weekend, so it was a private hospital, so the surgeons were on holiday.
Yeah,
on their yachts.
wanted to send me home. Luckily, my girlfriend at the time was put her foot down and wouldn't let that happen. So one night in hospital, they got a surgeon the next day, had surgery. It was, I think, a five-hour-long surgery. Had two plates and 13 screws inserted in my arm.
My God. Wow. That's heavy.
Is your arm feel heavier after having that stuff in there?
Good question. Good question.
Can't say I ever considered that and thought too much about it.
Mike, what about when you go into the airport and go through the metal detector?
I've had, after 6 months, I had all the plates taken out.
Yep.
Because the two plates went like around the tip of my elbow because the break went all the way down to my elbow.
Yeah.
So every time I would rest my elbow on something, it would hit the plate. It would be sitting on the plate. So it was really, really annoying. So they went back in and took the plates out. So now I've got them in a little goodie bag to show people now.
Oh, wicked. A bit of fun show and tell there.
Yeah, isn't it just?
Yeah. Hey, Sean, Mum goes off during the in the machines now.
With the knees?
With the knees, yeah. But and she loves it because it's the only time another human touches her. I swear she takes forks in her pocket as well just in case her knees don't go off.
Yeah. The knees don't go off, but the knives cause it too.
I might give it a go, Marlo.
Thanks, Mike. Let's go to Ryan in Banksia Grove. Hello.
Morning, guys. How are we?
We're talking shattered bones. What have you got for us?
My mum was came around to see our 4-week-old daughter, her first grandchild, and missed the step going out of our sort of shopper's entrance into the garage and took a tumble. Ooh. And I couldn't get her up. She's a bit of a bigger lady, but anyway. She's like, oh, I'll be fine. I was like,
What, was she just going to lie there?
I'm just going to live here now.
So called the ambulance, the ambos came, and, you know, it was a bit strange. She was convinced that she's like, I'll just go home, rest. We went to the hospital, x-rays, and she'd snapped the head of her humerus off at the shoulder joint, and the head had snapped into about 6 or 7
weeks. Oh, my God! Oh, she blew out the ball in the ball and soccer joint.
Full shoulder replacement, but they can't. They got to swap it around, so they put the socket on the arm bone and the ball joint in the shoulder as opposed to the normal.
Oh, is that what they do?
Oh wait,
Well, instead of it being being a socket, the socket being there and the ball being on the end of the arm, switched it around so that and attached the ball to the body essentially in the socket.
Yeah, because the head of the arm was in so many pieces they couldn't put the implant in.
So it's like when you buy something from IKEA and then after you built it and you realise you haven't put it together properly, but yet it still works. But then it's like, no, but it still works.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Run with it.
Yeah. I mean, that door's upside down, but it's okay.
And and her elbow
that's
bends
crazy.
In.
That is interesting.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We're heading into the final day of the third test against India, Australia versus India, of course. And last night, though, after the Aussies failed to bowl the Indians out, India made over 600 runs.
Mm.
We lost two early wickets. You can watch all the action on Channel 505 on Fox, of course. Brendan, Julian and the team will be hosting. BJ, good morning to you, buddy.
G'day, guys.
Hey.
We can't get enough of Brendan on this show, can we?
I know. I said they must be so desperate. There's no one else out there who wants to talk.
No. It's what the listeners want. We get like Facebook messages every day saying we need more Brendan Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to deliver.
Sorry about that.
I know. Will you get your parents off the Facebook?
Tell us to leave us alone. The Aussies hang on, BJ?
No.
Okay.
All right, see you, BJ. All right, everybody, let's go into...
I'm with you, BJ. I reckon...
Let's talk West Coast. Well, look, I was really surprised. I think I spoke to you guys at the start of the test match thinking this test match would be over in 3 days.
I thought
the pitch was pretty bad. I was really surprised yesterday how the pitch did not do anything. It didn't really turn a lot, didn't bite for the spinners. I thought Josh Hazlewood and Pat Cummins, you know, they bowled nearly 100 overs. Poor Pat Cummins, he's come back into a test match. Yeah. He's probably going to bowl a little amount of overs and be over in 3 days, and he's bowled an absolute truckload. So what always happens, though, you're out in the field that long, you're always going to lose 2 or 3 wickets overnight. It's just the way it rolls. You know, it happens all
just
the
tired.
Time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not easy for the left-handers. David Warner, left-handed, out of the rough from Jadeja.
That was amazing.
That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, that really turned. One. Yeah.
Well, it's out of the rough, you know, and to the right-handed batsman, it's okay, but to the lefties, it's going to be a tough one. So, no doubt, Jadeja will be opening the bowling with probably Ashwin again, and they've got so much time. I thought India might have missed a trick. They're not going fast and not batting more aggressively to try and get us in a bit earlier overnight, but they're going to have all day to knock us over. I just cannot see us probably surviving this one.
Brendan, do you know a good pitch from a mile away? Like, can you sense a good pitch when you walk past? Do you know, like, because I would not be able to tell you if that was a good pitch.
Oh, I don't think anyone could.
No?
No, no. That, I mean, this pitch, at the start of it, looked worse than the other two.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, with this pitch in Pune, with the pitch here in Ranchi, it's the first time they played a test match on it, so you don't know what you're going to get. So they're not used to it. But this one has been particularly hard and has surprised me. I mean, it'll turn, you know, today, no doubt. But the first 3 days have been unbelievable. As you know, as you can see by the score, 600 in the second innings for India.
Yeah.
It's incredible. That doesn't happen too often. Yeah.
You know what? One of the best things you've ever said is pitch in Pune. Anyway, I just wanted to.
Yeah, but I don't want to move on without acknowledging Nathan's first ever cricket question.
Yeah.
He actually asked about a pitch.
Good.
I did, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, consider yourself pitch slapped.
Well, you could do the pitch report and no one would even know. You could just say whatever you wanted. And people go, oh, okay, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I'll go, it's a woody pitch. It's a woody pitch with hints of jasmine.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you, BJ. I just thought the Aussie spinners, it just seems like after, I know Steve O'Keefe had that one day and Nathan Lyon had that one day, they're really not up to it, are they?
Well, look, at the end of the day, our spinner is as good as, you know, the pitch that we play on. You know, really. Yeah. I mean, you have a look at the first two test matches, spinners don't really come into a game unless the wicket is turning. And, you know, the first 3 days of this test match, and 4 days, really, it hasn't turned that much. I mean, you get a little bit, but, you know, that's just the way spinners are. They don't really take over the game unless the pitch on day 4 and 5 comes into it, and that's traditionally what happens. But this wicket was so flat for the quick bowlers as well. So, you know, I always thought 450 when we first batted in that first innings was a good score, but it wasn't a great score in terms of the pitch. And, you know, you could see that with, you know, India coming out and getting the runs. Kohli hasn't got a run in the series.
Yeah,
great batsman. So that tells you how good the pitch is.
Well, he's going to make 300 next time they play.
Yeah. Well, is today the day that Sean Marsh is going to make 150? Like, could he finally step up?
Well, he could. I mean, Sean Marsh could, but as I said, as a left-handed batsman, that is going to be so hard for him out of the rough against Jadeja, out of the rough like Warner. I mean, Renshaw will...
Well, he should bat right-handed like a normal person.
Well, he likes to switch hits, so he might have to pull that in, Sean Marsh.
Left-handed people are normal people, Natalie. Are you normal people? Yeah, we are.
I'm left-handed.
Yeah, Brendan.
You got this, what I mean?
Not batting, though. Maybe I should have done it when I was batting.
When you were younger, growing up, did they tell you that you would have illegible handwriting if you wrote left-handed? That's what they sort of told me.
Yeah, you had to start on the right-hand side.
Yes, yeah. They forced me to write with my right hand for a while because they thought it was like the devil's work.
Did you write better?
No.
Were they still burning handwriting witches back then, Nathan?
Yeah, it's very odd. It's Kalgoorlie. It was very, very odd because I used to write with both hands and they said, we want you to favour a hand. They said, well, you should have to favour the right hand. And I naturally kept on going back to my left hand. And they just
you got hit by the ruler, didn't you?
Yes. No, I didn't get hit by the ruler.
Well, BJ, why are you right-handed batter then? Because you're a left-arm bowler.
Because sometimes left-handed people do right-handed things as well.
That's right. I don't know. I don't know that. I can't work it out.
Did you ever try batting left-handed to see if you were maybe...
Well, when I went through a form slump, which was most of my career, I did.
Hey, have you...
No way. Bowling right-handed.
Have you ever wanted to go to the leftatorium in The Simpsons? Like, just you guys don't know. It's just part of the show for you, but for us, we just go, "Wow, this stuff could change our world." Like a left-handed ruler,
good. Yeah. Could do. Hasn't for me though.
Yeah, left-handed rubber. That'd be amazing.
Now, BJ, I've got another side note as well. On the weekend, I went down south, and normally when I'm driving into Dunsborough, I remembered I used to see this smiling big face. When you were the face for the whole Dunsborough Lakes development.
I know. Is that still going on?
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're still selling blocks there, yeah.
Yeah. They found out afterwards it was built on an Indian burial ground, so there's been a lot of stuff happening there.
What are the odds?
But, you know.
Since I found that out, I walked off.
BJ, you were the face for that for 20 years. Did you get a hole named after you or anything?
What? No, they couldn't sell anything. Then I walked away and then they started selling it.
So but no landmark? Do they have like a BJ Pond or something like that? I mean, I'm sure that'd go off.
Well, they had the statue, you know, like Richie Beno or someone like that, or Dennis Lee, but no, nothing.
So you don't get down there at all these days? I don't know, you're in Sydney.
No, he's obviously cut ties and left.
Down, yeah, if I come to Perth, I get down south. Yeah, I get out to Dunsmuth. It's a good spot down there.
Yeah, down
a bit sharky, but it's all right.
Yeah, it is a bit sharky.
Yeah.
We love your work, Brendan.
Great chat, Brendan.
That's a good cricket chat.
It was really good,
actually.
The Aussies
definitely can't win.
No, that can't win.
All right.
And just before I let you go, bonding about left-handedness, Brendan, at school, didn't you hate it how all the right-handed kids write notes in their lever arch file and we couldn't because of the arches?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I had to take the paper out.
Me too.
Then, you know,
me too. Yep. Yeah.
Boarding school.
Right. Oh, did you go to Wesley?
Good for grammar.
They won the head of the river.
They won the head of the river this week.
Did they?
Yes.
Won the head of the river.
Yes.
With the girls, with the chicks in there.
Not yet.
No, that's going to be next year, I believe. They're going to get co-ed.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They are going co-ed. Geez, that wouldn't have been great at the boarding school days.
Would have done some damage, wouldn't you?
Oh, born in the wrong era.
Would have been working on my right hand then.
Ring the bell and we're done. Check him out. Fox Sports 505.
Good chat, guys.
Pleasure.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We were at Crabfest on Saturday.
And we had such a good time on stage at the cooking a bit where we were with Theo Kalogiracis from Theo & Co. Pizzas.
Theo's so good.
And we did a bit of a cooking demonstration showing people how to make dough and all this sort of stuff.
And chili crab as well.
And Sean had gotten there just in time, didn't you?
I was actually officially 90 seconds late.
Yeah. Mm. So you're a bit flustered.
I was a bit flustered, but I wasn't flustered enough to remember the Golden Slipper race was on, $3.5 million. I'm in my horse racing. I saw your dad before I jumped on stage.
Yeah, he was so excited.
I was going to get him to give me the winner, but I thought because there was a bench where the kitchen was, we were standing behind, then I could sneak in the phone, turn it on, and just put it down on the bench, and no one would see that I was watching the horse race.
Now, look, if you have a punter in your life, you know that's not unusual. The amount of places we've been and Sean's been standing silently in the corner watching the screen, I can't even count.
And towards the end of the cooking demonstration, you were putting some dough on top of a kid's head.
Albert.
Good morning, Albert.
Albert.
Yeah, great job.
And his sister Lily.
And I looked down, and there under the bench was your phone still streaming.
45 minutes later, Nat, I didn't realise. I thought I'd hit, turned it off after I saw the result.
You didn't.
And I didn't. So my phone was live streaming New South Wales Racing for 45 minutes.
45 minutes. And as we all know, that can break your mortgage in the data world.
I haven't checked.
Do you know what your limit is? Do you know how many
nah,
you
get? My thing's like $200
Sean,
on my bill.
Sean,
I've got a big plan. I've got a seriously big plan so I can do heaps
of
stuff.
Man,
I'll let you know.
Plan.
I'll let you know one thing, right? You don't have enough data to check how much data you've got. That's how much data you don't have.
It really did hurt me on the drive back down to yelling up, thinking about that.
Yeah,
45 minutes, man.
You know what? It sucks these days because we don't care about how many phone calls that we get to make or how many messages that we get to send. All we
it's
care
all about,
about
the data.
We're just data vampires. That's all we are.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Sean managed to chew through a fair bit of data on Saturday by accidentally live streaming the races. That wasn't accidental.
No, yeah.
It's just that he left it on for 45 minutes while we did a cooking demo.
Yeah.
Oh, and didn't you crap yourself when Natalie pointed out live on stage what was happening?
I couldn't believe that was happening. God. You know, that was happening a long time, and I was looking down at you constantly when you were swigging the wine underneath the table. And I forgot that my phone was right there.
And you know what, Sean? The amount of times I went under the table and saw that phone was on, I never mentioned it. I didn't think anything of it.
Just thought it was normal.
Like, yeah.
Of course he'd be just live streaming the race.
Yeah, okay. Look, we want to know about the time you chewed through all of your data and you didn't want to.
Jess is in Kublup. Morning, Jess.
Hi.
Hey, Jess.
What chewed through your data, Jess?
Well, last year my partner and I were renting an apartment and we didn't have any internet yet. He went out and bought a PlayStation 4 and it turns out when you plug it in, you need to connect it to the internet to do some downloads.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought, I've got some extra data on my iPad that we never use. So I thought we'd connect it to my iPad.
Yes.
And it turns out it left it on for a few hours and it chewed up about $500 worth on my Telstra bill.
Oh my God, Jess.
I know. Yeah, he he got in a bit of trouble.
He got in a bit of trouble. Yeah, no, rightly so.
That there is terrible. Go. You know what? You should be very, very careful about when you turn your phone into a hotspot.
Yeah.
I did it at the AFL Grand Final when we were there.
Yes.
And yours wasn't working.
Yeah, you had everybody working.
Amy and Natalie all have the password for... I've got to change
No, mine
that.
Was working. mine was working, but you guys
You've
weren't.
Got the password still for my hotspot.
Just let's see if you turn it on.
I got right there. This will enrage me. I've got to change it. How do you change it? Wait there, so the settings.
Just turn it on, see if it works.
Hang on, I just have to take it off that. Let's look for Wi-Fi.
Have you put your hotspot on?
I'm trying to. I can't find it.
This is great radio.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
I just had a heart attack just before the news, thinking that Natalie and Amy, our producer, still had access to my hotspot to my data.
You don't.
And I think, Natalie, you know what? I think I did change the password because I know what you're like.
What? Yeah, because all I
just
do.
Think, no, because I could actually have a hotspot on here and then suddenly you'd be downloading everything off
that's
of,
what
off
I
of
do.
The Apple Store. All of it.
All the TV
just
shows
because you can't download anything because you've lost your cloud password.
Yeah, I've got to get that fixed. Remember?
I'm still
locked out of the cloud.
You spoke to the people from the cloud.
You got a call from the cloud. Cloud and you can't help. They can't help
Cloud
you.
Cloud can't. No Care Bears can even.
Anyway, Sean Chew threw a fair swag of his data by accidentally live streaming the races for 45 minutes while we were doing a cooking demo at
Very handy.
Natalie ended up telling him 45 minutes later, but then I realised that I could have told him many times because I saw it heaps and just
Nathan
didn't put two and two together.
Swigging wine from a bottle by crouching down behind the counter.
To make sure it wasn't poison.
An SSB. Yes.
Yeah. Casey's in Belden. Hi, Case.
Hi, how you going?
Hi, Casey.
What chewed through your data, Case?
Oh, my teenage daughter. Mm. She was 12 years old at the time. She got her first phone and, you know, we sat down and talked to her about how to use it, what not to do, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But she ended up chewing through $2,500 worth of data on our first
Bloody
bill.
Bloody hell.
Oh, my
Did she,
God.
What was she doing?
Oh, we all died. My husband hit the road, of course. And, we rang our provider. They were really good. They actually let us off $1,000 and we had to pay the other $1,500.
So what was she looking at? What was she doing?
Oh, Facebook, music, you know, movies. Everything you can think of. It's the movies.
It's live streaming and stuff. And so many people are getting caught these days because of Netflix and stuff because you're just using it like you would your own PVR or DVD player. But, if you don't have... Because I've got unlimited downloads at my place. So
oh,
I've got unlimited
neat.
Data.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for that fact. So.
Well, we didn't have the Wi-Fi on at that point. So she was literally using all her mobile data. But we learnt very quickly... Got the Wi-Fi.
Much cheaper to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we got a much better plan, but that was a huge shock. And it was. It was Netflix and, you know, everything.
$2,500 on her mobile data.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Do you know what? The service providers must have just been high-fiving each other when they worked out what data was and how we could all misuse it.
And they're like, sign up as many 12-year-olds as we can. Let's go to Maddie in Claremont. Hello.
Hey, Maddie.
What's your data, Maddie?
I was away in Canada at the start of this year for a month and my brother turned on my hotspot without telling him and was Skyping his girlfriend every night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Maddie.
Yeah.
He is devious and brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow, how much?
Well, I'm with Vodafone, so I paid $10 for an extra gig. So he's $150 on top of my already 10 gigs that I had.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, that's a lot.
Do you know what, though? That is a good idea, everybody.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? If you can get access to somebody, like, you know, so kids, you know. Oh, no, don't do that, kids. Don't do what I'm about to tell you to do.
Turn on someone else's hotspot, is that what you're saying?
Turn on someone else's hotspot.
Get their password
and then never tell them.
Don't do it.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
All right, we love comedy and we love maths.
Oh, no. No. I did veggie maths and then gave it up in year 12. I didn't do maths.
It wasn't
at
my
all.
Choice, it was actually kicked
it's
out.
It's time to meet a man who can combine both. Matt Parker, good morning.
Good morning. How are we?
And now, Matt, how do you combine both? I mean, you know, if you're talking about numbers, people might go to sleep, but you're being able to do it. With comedy.
Because the only number we find funny is 69.
You know, lemon chicken.
Exactly. And I too well. I do a lot of work with school kids, and the moment you say choose a two-digit number, it's 69 every time.
And then it's hilarious.
Yep, exactly. And because I'm in there as like an adult, I'm like, what's going on? I don't understand, right? The space thing is just terrible.
But
it's been weird because I started doing the stand-up circuit in the UK. I'm from Perth originally, but I moved over.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, goodness, over a decade ago. It's just, so my accent doesn't sound at all like it should anymore. and I realized, because I used to be a high school math teacher, that I'd start putting little bits of math into my routine. And as long as I was sufficiently funny around that, and as long as the math was adequately interesting, audiences will go with it. And so I gradually just did more and more of that. And then people started showing up expecting math. And I was like, all right, this is okay. Mainly I do like hardcore nerd comedy, and people show up expecting math and science and the occasional joke.
I guess it's a niche audience, isn't it? can you remember your first ever maths joke?
Oh, my goodness. See, when I started, I would try and do like logic jokes as a way to get halfway there. And so I used to talk about when I discovered there's a supermarket in the UK that will print a photograph onto a cake for you. Like any photograph you want, you can put on a cake.
Yep,
and obviously there's all sorts of rude, terrible things you can do with that. Whereas I said, what I used to do is like buy a really, really cheap cake, but then get a photo of a nice cake printed on the top. Right? And that for me, I thought that was hysterical. Right? And that was like the first like logic joke I told on stage, my first own comedy. And people went with that. Okay, if recursive cakes are going to get a laugh, I reckon I can make this work.
Hey, Matt, tell us something interesting, though, about numbers, you know, some of the things you used to roll out and go, oh, God, I've hooked them.
Oh, that, yeah. So what I'm trying to do with the show we're taking in Australia is I'm calculating pi using the number using pi, the baked good. I'm going to have a pi on stage.
Yes.
And with the help of a semi-competent member of the audience, which is variable, I'm going to calculate pi live, right? And somehow this passes for live entertainment these days.
So what do you do with the pi then?
Yeah, so what I do, so like the lazy way to do it would be to measure around the pi, measure across the pi, divide one by the other, get pi, right? I'm like, no, I can do it on that. If you suspend the pi from a piece of string,
yes,
which is 2.45 meters long, which is a quarter of acceleration due to gravity, which is about 9.8 meters per second per second, and you set that pi swinging, it takes exactly pi seconds to swing backwards and forwards.
So then you just have to time it.
We just got to time it. It's easy, right? And so I've had phone calls with theatres around Australia going, right, I need you to suspend a pi from 2.45 metres of string above the stage, and then you've got to lower it with the spotlight tracking it. as I shout, bring in the pi,
yes.
Right, you've got to lower it down on the stage with blasting music by Pendulum. I think that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then it comes into stage, and we set it swinging, and someone measures it, and we get pi.
You know what? Venues must see you coming and go, oh, not this dick. What does he want? he's worse than Miley Cyrus's rider. Well, I mean,
they look at my rider, and they're like, what?
Is it important what sort of pie it is?
You know, I've mainly been using steak and kidney.
Right, okay.
Which is easily available here in the UK. And I'm thinking, for old time's sake, I'll get a Mrs. Max, you know, beef pie. Give that a go. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah.
I've not done a comprehensive comparison.
Because what about apple? Like, what's wrong with an apple pie?
Oh, there'd be nothing, Natalie.
I've not even gone near dessert pie.
I want to talk about your relationship too, because like you're a maths genius, and your wife is Lucy Green, who was a solar physicist. Where did a maths geek and a solar physicist first meet up? Where did this happen?
So we were running courses for teenagers. So gifted and talented maths and nerdy teenagers could come along. Right. And so so she was one of the other leaders. She wasn't a student. Right. So she was running the physics strand of the course. I was running the programming strand. We never met each other.
Yep.
And then she heard a rumor that one of the other leaders had a watch that told the time in binary. I was that guy. Right?
Wow. And she went, that's the guy for me.
Down.
You guys are like Big Bang Theory. Just come to life.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Okay, no. And tell the guys about your wedding ring. This takes it to another Big Bang Theory level.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. So normally when you get a wedding ring, people opt for all the boring metals, like gold and these sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So our wedding rings are made out of meteorite. So we found...
Where do you chase that
joke,
down?
Thanks for laughing Man. Along. Right, so... We found a company that would take chunks of, like our rings are older than the earth, and then they take chunks out and they turn them into rings, and they're platinum backed because they don't play well with the acid in your skin, yeah. and they rust occasionally, but you know, and they've been around for a lot longer than us, and they'll outlive us by a long time, and they're from the same meteorite, and so now, whenever we go on holidays, because it was sort of a Gibeon meteorite, for any meteorite fans listening in.
Oh, there's heaps of them out there. Yeah. They're ringing the mirror.
We are their go-to radio exactly. show.
Normally it's like, why didn't you back announce the meteorite?
Why didn't you back announce the meteorite?
And then wherever we go on holidays, a lot of museums have little bits of the same meteorite, right? So we think it's great. We try and find it in other cities around the world, and we reunite our rings. I mean, it looks very bizarre for anyone else.
You pair of
rock and punch it.
That's spectacularly nerdy.
I love you. I love
so
you.
Different. That is good.
I love you as a couple. That is hilarious.
Oh, what fun. All right, the Cosmic Shambles live so tour funny. Comes to the Octagon Theatre on April 13th. But it's been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
You funny little bugger.
My pleasure.
Good on you, Matt.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean. Hey, so we just had Matt Parker on.
Yeah, we did.
Who's like a comedian with maths. Mm. And we were talking to him about his wife, Lucy Green, who is a solar physicist. And about
what a
how
couple.
They met and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, he was telling us about how their wedding rings are made of meteors.
Yeah, so it's
that's amazing, isn't it?
A meteorite, and then they have put platinum on the inside so it doesn't react with their skin. Yeah. But it's from a particular meteorite. Yeah. And so then whenever they go around the world, they go into museums to see if they have a bit of the same meteorite.
And that's
what
thing.
They do. That's their thing.
That's their couple that's thing that they do.
Yeah.
Some people go, oh, let's try the ice cream at all the different stores.
Yes.
These people are like, let's go to the museum and see if we've got the same meteor as our wedding rings.
And then they feel like they're linked immeasurably to that place.
Yeah. Love that, because I'm pretty sure they are the only people in the world that do that.
Yeah. Well, I'd be very surprised if there's another couple.
Yeah. Do you have a little couple thing that you're both into? Not Gavin Dragnew
or
Annika.
Both of you love all four.
Yeah. When we go overseas, we always have to go to a motorcycle museum, but that's more his thing than mine.
Do you have a thing that you guys have created together? Like, oh, let's go do this thing. And how quirky. This is about us. We're like a movie.
I can't think of anything.
Sad,
maybe sad people. If I had a relationship, I'd have a thing. And my thing would be hilarious.
I don't know what it is, but it would be.
Oh, my God. People would laugh and laugh.
Yeah, well, Sean and Megan's thing is going to the races, obviously. Megan once again.
Yeah, but he's there for the betting and she's there for the booze. So that's why that works out quite well.
It's a good combination. Mm-hmm. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
So comedian / mathematician Matt Parker and his solar physicist wife Lucy Green like to go to, when they're in a foreign city, they go into museums to spot little bits of the same meteorite that their wedding rings are carved from.
Yep, that's their couple thing.
Very original.
We are discussing what you might do as a couple that you equally enjoy.
Carolyn's in Les Murdy. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carolyn.
What do you do together that's your thing?
Motorsport.
You're both rev heads.
Well, the whole family. Both my daughters race dirt carts, and we went to Daytona 500 last year, at the Indianapolis 500 last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We went to Daytona. We took the kids everywhere.
And are you into it as much as your hubby?
Yep. 24 years, and I've only missed two race meetings.
Oh, my God. Hey, Carolyn, when you went over there, is it the Indianapolis 500 where you get to kiss, the winner kisses the bricks across the finish line?
No, that's a Brickyard 500.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you know all of the 500s. Carolyn, did you like this before you met your partner?
I grew up with rally cars.
Yep.
I didn't know that there was one at a raceway here when I first started dating my husband.
Yeah.
Turned up and found out that he raced cars, and that was the end of it.
Wow. Do you just love the smell of petrol?
I just love the sound.
The sound of petrol.
You're like the family on Upper Middle Bogan. You know that, right? That are really into the drag racing, all of them.
I know. You sort of sit there and go, yeah, we go to drag racing, we go to speedway.
What do you drive, Carolyn, by the way? Have you got a car that you've done some work to?
No, my daily drive is just a Commodore. We've got an old HK wagon.
I love how you call it your daily drive. That's a thing that rev heads would
say.
That's
yeah, that's multiple cars.
Yeah, your daily drive. Great work, Carolyn. Thank you. Let's go to Belinda and Yanja up. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hey, Mel,
what's
Belle.
Your couple thing?
Our couple thing, it's quite funny. We both love to watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey together.
So specifically New Jersey.
Really?
None of these other housewives, not Auckland.
No, the New Jersey one is the best.
You know what? You must have been waiting because they were off for a season while Teresa was in jail.
Exactly. So we were, yes, withdrawal symptoms happening there.
Beautiful.
You know too much, Nathan.
I didn't know. I knew it wasn't on for ages, and then I realised it was because Teresa was in prison. So what did you do during that year? Yeah.
Well, the funny thing was, he probably won't like me telling this, but he actually enjoys watching Dance Mums as well.
Oh, my God.
We tape it off Foxtel and we watch it later. Sometimes as a family or the two of us, he's right into it.
Oh, was he a Maddie fan or more of a JoJo? What was he?
Maddie
Ziegler. Yeah.
How obscure does the show have to get before you don't know anything about it?
Let's test it. We should do a bit of a test.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean. Earlier this morning, we caught up with a comedian / mathematician called Matt Barker, who's married to a solar physicist. Yeah. And instead of just getting like gold wedding rings, they got wedding rings crafted from a bit of a meteorite.
Do you think that's expensive, by the way?
I can't imagine. Well, on one hand, yes, but on the other hand, low demand.
Yeah, well, the fact that they had to get a line so they didn't like their fingers didn't fall off because it's toxic.
Yeah.
But when they're in a foreign city, they go into the museum to see if there's bits from the same meteorite.
Yeah, and we've realised, you know what? A lot of couples have the little thing that they do together. Penny's in Ardross. Penny, what's the thing you two do together?
Okay, well, this might sound really disgusting to some people, but equally satisfying to other people. But you know the daytime TV show, The Doctors?
Yes.
Yes, well, there's a doctor lady on there called Dr. Sandra Lee, I'm pretty sure her name is.
Yes.
And yes, anyways, she's got this little YouTube channel, I suppose, called Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yuck.
Yes.
So you watch somebody popping pimples together?
Yes.
Can't even.
In bedtime, at night time, before bed.
Together.
We'll sit there together and pimple popping.
When you're watching it together, are you laughing? What are you saying to each other?
We're just like, you know, oohing and ahhing, you know, just because some of them are really disgusting. Yeah. But like, we just really enjoy watching them. I know it sounds really disgusting.
Does that get you in the mood?
Oh, my God, yeah,
thinking. No, that's just disgusting. That's just like a whole
lot of I don't know. You're the one doing it.
I can't watch this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't eat for a year.
No, I find them extremely relaxing. I don't know what
relaxing.
About them,
oh, that's
really
interesting.
Relaxing.
No, no. Yeah. Is it relaxing or is it satisfying? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a relaxing, satisfying.
Because,
it's not,
you know,
like,
I get the satisfying because you see it go and then they get it out and that's it. You feel satisfied. Just, I don't see how it's relaxing.
Yeah, I find it a lot.
You're
me
disgusting.
And my partner, we find it just really relaxing and it's just, I don't know.
So is the bigger the better? Like, is it, do you really like it?
Oh.
Yeah, the bigger the better. Like, I could seriously do that job for a living.
Is it just pimples or is it other?
Pimples, what are they called? Cysts. And stuff like
The odd carbuncle.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough.
That's what we do.
All right, Penny. Well, you know what? What you do is disgusting. Let's go to see what Ross does. Ross.
No, it was an off-air conversation.
Ross.
I told you.
No, it wasn't. Oh, Ross. Tell everybody about your special night that you have with your lovely lady.
We do love Thursday nights where we just spend time together doing just.
What are some of the activities that Love Thursday nights consist of?
I don't want to say.
Do the one where you look at her, tell her.
Well, she read somewhere that it's like nice and intimate when you just look at each other's eyes for five minutes,
Sean!
How do you go? You can't.
Okay. She was into it, like, but I can't do it. I couldn't do it. So every time I'd laugh, she'd make me restart it. And she'd go, no, we've got to connect. So I'd have to continue staring at her.
So how do you know when you've connected? Do you look at them differently? Like, you know, you're staring and then suddenly is there a deeper gaze that you drop into and you go, okay, now we've hit a connection? Is that what it is? Or you don't get it yet, do you?
Well, I was just waiting for the time to go off. I mean, it's...
I would be too. 4:30.
You're in so much trouble.
It's like holding your breath, isn't it? How long can you get it?
What's another activity that happens on Love in Thursdays?
Well, we walk semi together. Sometimes we meditate together.
Yeah, we'll meditate
mate, come on, this was really private when I told you.
Well, okay, was, when you talk to us, Ross, there's no such thing as private.
Yeah, on that night, see ya.
This is Nathan, Nat, and Sean.